I'll send it off before I read it. I'm going to stay here for the first chair.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone. It's really nice to see everybody this morning. I shouldn't actually say that because the sun is in exactly the right spot to hit whoever's here in the eyes. So I know that you're out there, and welcome, everyone. And this is Birthday Sunday, so after church, there are goodies to celebrate the birthdays. So now, I am leading worship this morning, and then next Sunday, because it's communion, Reverend Donald will be here with us again. So Debbie is out of the office until January the 5th, but messages and mail will be picked up, and so not to worry, but don't come to the office without phoning to see if somebody's actually here. Tax receipts, your donations have to be in by December the 31st. So we are having, well, the city is having a meeting with the community to discuss the tiny homes that are going to be built behind the church. And that is on Wednesday, January the 14th, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Feed My Sheep is going to happen at Agape on New Year's Day. And if you can help out with that, that would be great. 9 o'clock is the startup time. So there is the fridge page for everybody to take home and put on their fridges to see what all is going on. We can never, ever start our worship services here at Knox St. Paul's without acknowledging the land on which this church sits. So as we gather on this day of worship on the first Sunday after Christmas, and we are in what is known as Christmastide until Epiphany, we pause to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of the indigenous peoples who have cared for this land for countless generations. We honor First Peoples' respect for and connection to the earth, and we have much to learn from them and their continued presence among us today. As settlers, we commit ourselves to the ongoing journey of truth, reconciliation, and peace in the spirit of right relations and shared hope for the future. Let us work to make the promises and the challenge of truth and reconciliation real in our communities. Our opening hymn, because we're added a few hymns because the choir is actually on break, but so we put some hymns, extra hymns in there, and so we're going to start off with Good Christian Friends Rejoice. Thank you. Beloved, we have waited, watched, and witnessed the coming of the Christ child. As we gather today on the other side of Christmas, we might be tempted to ask, what now? With Mary and Joseph, we listen for God to show us how to protect and advocate for the vulnerable among us. As we gather to worship today, may God bind us together in love, empowering us to live as followers of the Christ child, who declared good news wherever we go. We are partners, participants in the work of God. Loving God, while we are still in the glow of Christmas joy, we encounter a very different sounding story today. A note of worry and danger is being injected into the quiet and peace of this season. We are now going to sing A Voice Was Heard in Ramah.
As we light these candles today, we thank God for hope he gives us, for the peace he bestows, for the joy he pours into our hearts, and for the love that redeems us and shows us the way. We thank God for his gift of Jesus. We thank him that for through Jesus his light has come into the world and made it possible for us to see, and in seeing to rejoice. His truth, his love, his very self transforms all who receive him. Loving God, Emmanuel, we thank you for being with us, for sending your Son to walk with us and to lead us. As Christ Jesus was born of Mary, so may he be born in us and through us, revealed to the world. Grant that the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love of which we have heard and spoken of throughout Advent may be fully realized in us as we worship and serve you. Through him, this both now and forevermore. Amen.
We will now sing Dream a Dream. God, of changed plans, of moves to unexpected places. After Jesus was born, Joseph heard in a dream that they were to take an untraveled road to a new home. The Magi, after seeing the baby Jesus and presenting their gifts, were also warned in a dream to take another path. So they packed their bags and went home another way. We wish that change could be easy for us, but more often than not, When whispers of change come, we tend to clench our fists and hold on tighter. No matter which roads we take in this one wild and precious life, God walks with us. God never leaves our side. When the road changes and we find ourselves on a new path home, God is always there. So hear and believe this good news. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, we are claimed, loved, and held by God. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen. We are now going to sing two verses of Away in a Manger. And if the children want to come up, that would be wonderful. Thank you for doing this for me. I really appreciate this because it's always nice to have some company up here with me. We sang a very familiar carol right now, Away in a Manger, because it talks about all the figures that are here, about the sheep and about the cattle and about the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And originally, that was the two verses of that hymn. But then, a minister was asked to write another verse for a special children's program. So there are some actions that go with it. So I'm going to have to ask somebody to hold the mic while I do the actions. How's that? How's that, Josh? Sound good to you, Josh? You will notice that the words to this are more like a prayer, and so there are actions that go with it. So the first line is, "Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask you to stay," and you'll pray like this. "Close by me forever, love me, I pray." Hug yourself. Everybody needs a good hug. And then bless the dear children in thy tender care. And fit us for heaven to live with thee there. So let's practice it one more time and then we'll sing it. And children, wait to go down for Sunday school until we finish the last verse here. So, be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the children in thy tender care, because remember, you're the children too, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Okay, here we go, Rosemary. And this is still Christmastide until Epiphany next Sunday. So we are still worshiping Christmas.
God of wisdom and wonder, your word took flesh and lived among us. By your Spirit, illumine our hearts and minds that we may behold your glory, receive your truth, and follow your Son with joy. Amen. The first lesson is from Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 10 to 18. And it was right and proper that God, who made everything for his own glory, should allow Jesus to suffer, for in doing this he was bringing vast multitudes of God's people to heaven. For his suffering made Jesus a perfect leader, one fit to bring them into their salvation. We who have been made holy by Jesus now have the same Father he has. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers. For he says in the book of Psalms, I will talk to my brothers about God my Father, and together we will sing his praises. At another time he said, I will put my trust in God along with my brothers. And at still another time, see, here am I and the children God gave me. Since we, God's children, are human beings, made of flesh and blood, he became flesh and blood too by being born in human form, for only as a human being could he die and in dying break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in that way could he deliver those who through fear of death have been living all their lives as slaves to constant dread. We all know he did not come as an angel, but as a human being, yes, a Jew. And it was necessary for Jesus to be like us, his brothers, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God, a priest who would be both merciful to us and faithful to God in dealing with the sins of the people. For since he himself has now been through suffering and temptation, he knows what it is like when we suffer and are tempted, and he is wonderfully able to help us. The second lesson is from the second chapter of Matthew, verses 13 to 23. After the scholars were gone, God's angel showed up again in Joseph's dream and commanded, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. stay until further notice. Herod is on the hunt for this child and wants to kill him." Jesus obeyed. He got up. Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother under cover of darkness. They were out of town and well on their way by daylight. They lived in Egypt until Herod's death. This Egyptian exile fulfilled what Hosea had preached: "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod, when he realized that the scholars had tricked him, flew into a rage. He commanded the murder of every little boy 2 years old and under who lived in Bethlehem and its surrounding hills. He determined that age from information he'd gotten from the scholars. That's when Jeremiah's revelation was fulfilled. A sound was heard in Ramah, weeping and much lament. Rachel weeping for her children. Rachel refusing all solace. Her children gone, dead and buried. Later, when Herod died, God's angel appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Up, take the child and his mother and return to Israel. All those out to murder the child are dead." Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother, and re-entered Israel. When he heard, though, that Archelaus had succeeded his father Herod as king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. But then Joseph was directed in a dream to go to the hills of Galilee. On arrival, he settled in the village of Nazareth. This move was a fulfillment of the prophetic words, "He shall be called a Nazarene." May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul's United Church to hear God's continuing call to us: "I'm setting you up in public ministry so that my presence through you becomes known to all who journey alone."
The angels have certainly been busy lately. First visiting Zechariah, then Mary, then Joseph, then the shepherds, then the kings, and now back to Joseph. Once again, an angel has something important to tell Joseph. This message was of life and death importance to this little family. They must flee at once to Egypt and the safety from King Herod. King Herod had heard all the hype about this baby born in Bethlehem. He felt troubled, angry, and threatened by the news of Jesus' birth. Seeing the new king as a rival to his throne. Yes, King Herod is widely considered the primary bad actor or villain in the traditional Christmas story. Herod was known as a brutal leader, even executing his own wife and several of his sons out of suspicion during his reign. Now he was prepared to undertake the search for and mass murder of local young children under the age of 2, wanting so desperately to find Jesus and kill him. In the context of the Nativity story, he represents the darkness and evil of the world that Jesus came to challenge. According to the Gospel of Matthew, a family is forced to flee their homeland for fear of persecution. This is the classic modern-day definition of a refugee. In fact, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees defines that group of people as follows. A refugee is someone who has been forced to flee his or her country because of persecution, war, or violence. A refugee has a well-founded fear of persecution for reasons of race, religion, nationality, political opinion, or membership in a particular social group. Whereas the most recognizable, what we think about mostly when we think of the Holy Family, is that scene down there in the stable, all softly lit, a beautiful manger scene. It's this story of the fear and fleeing of the long way to finding a home that many families can relate to, though. Too many people know what it's like to have to move. Not by your own choice, but fleeing from war, violence, political danger, exclusion, economic need, and poverty, or the multitude of other needs that force a family or person to migrate or lose their homes and everything. Much later in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus reminds us that any time we welcome the stranger, we welcome Jesus himself. Refugees and migrants are our brothers and sisters, desperately in need of our help. The United Church of Canada, and this we can be very proud of, has been actively involved in refugee resettlement for over 45 years, becoming a sponsorship agreement holder with the Canadian government back in 1979, a role that formalized their commitment to welcoming refugees and has continued ever since. There was other ways before that they used to get refugees to Canada, but this way the government was working with them. For decades, the church has sponsored people from various nations, including the Congo, Iraq, and Pakistan, Syria, Ukraine, providing them with a chance for new lives in Canada. The United Church continues to sponsor refugees from diverse backgrounds, including the persecuted LGBTQ plus individuals, demonstrating a long-standing dedication to compassion and justice. The United Church of Canada's Mission and Service Fund directly supports refugee work, providing essential settlement services, skilled training, and global advocacy for displaced people, offering shelter, food, and hope to vulnerable individuals fleeing crisis worldwide. December the 18th is International Migrants Day. For the last 25 years, this date has been observed to recognize the contributions that immigrants, migrants, and refugees have made to society worldwide, and to address the struggles they face when seeking safety and opportunity. It is fitting that this day always falls during Advent, at a time when Christians prepare to welcome the light of the world, who himself fled when his family were in danger from a cruel king. Today, the news, unfortunately, is full of stories of people facing conflict, violence, and persecution, having to make that agonizing decision of staying in an unsafe situation or risking their lives and leaving everything behind in hopes of finding something better. I was really struck by this suggestion by theologian, hymn writer, and author Thomas Traeger, who wrote, "It is the custom to take our nativity scenes down after Christmas and store them away until next year. Matthew's account of the Holy Family's trials suggests that perhaps we should put away the shepherds because they went back to their fields, the Magi because they went back to their countries, but should keep out Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Just the three of them, all alone, facing the terrors of a brutal dictator. No visitors, no sheltering barn, no cuddly looking sheep, no friendly oxen. Then we should move the Holy Family to another location in our church, perhaps to a window looking out into the larger world, where there is still violence and terror, where there are refugees fleeing every day, needing protection that we may be able to provide." I brought with me this morning a statue of Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus that I would like to place in one of those windows over there. And I want them to face back towards the back where our tiny little homes are going to be. So seeing Mel is our chair, she's going to do that for me. So they can look out and we can look out to see the work that we still need to do when this homeless tiny house project starts in earnest in the back. God calls us to help make a home for the displaced. It is clear in this scripture reading this morning where God's loyalty lies. With the people on the move, the story reminds us that we can be a way station, a place of safety on the journey, a place set apart in order to welcome those who seek a new home. May we be willing to open our doors wide and welcome them home. Amen. We are now going to sing a hymn from the resources that we had for Advent and Christmas. Let the fires of justice grow. Sorry. This is the time in the worship service when people, if they want to, can come up and share with the rest of us some time during this week where they may have felt God's presence in what is happening, or something good that you would like to share, or there may be something during the worship service that touched you and you want to share with others. If no one wants to come up, then we will sit in holy silence for a while. Now is the time when we bring up the prayer stones and the offering, the monetary offerings, but also all the things that we do as a church, individually out into the community, or within this church itself. Let us bring up the offering. Of light and love, we offer these gifts with hearts transformed by the miracle of your Son's birth. Use them to bless those in need, to bring hope and peace, to further your kingdom here on earth. Amen. All gracious and loving God, giver of all good gifts, we gather in this time of Christmastide, bathed in the radiance of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the wonder of the Word made flesh, the helpless babe who cracks the world asunder with hope and peace. Kindle our hearts, O Lord, that we may feel the awe of your presence and the joy of your coming anew. We praise you for the shining star, the angel song, and the simple manger where glory was revealed. Astonish us with your boundless love, Lord, and help us, like the shepherds and the wise men, to rise bigger than ourselves as we kneel before your Son. As winter falls around us, warm our hearts to your guidance. Be with us as we pray for all those who have no room at the inn, the lonely, the sick, the imprisoned, and the oppressed. Let your presence bring comfort and healing. Bless and protect all families, especially those who must flee their homelands for the unknown of being a refugee. May your peace extend throughout your world, and may we continue to be that church that is helping build a city where no one journeys alone. Bless all of us gathered here in worship, as well as those who are shut in, grieving, or in pain, either physically or mentally. Hear all the prayers represented by the prayer stones that lay on the communion table. Hear all those prayers that sit silent in our hearts, too painful to speak out loud. May peace and joy ring in our hearts and echo through our communities today and in the name of Jesus, the newborn, who when he was an adult taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We are going to finish with Go Tell It on the Mountain. Everybody have a seat for a while, because this is the last Sunday of the month, and this is when we recognize all the birthdays in December, including Jesus. So do we have any birthdays? Okay. Stand up. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Don't forget goodies afterwards to celebrate our birthdays. May the God who warned Joseph, who guided the Holy Family to Egypt and back, continually protect you, directing your steps through dreams, whispers, or quiet nudges. Even when the path seems dark, leading you to safety and purpose. Amen.